I have mentioned before how sorry I feel for these guys having this complete lack of talent. I think if you work a little harder, you'll get there. Keep trying. You're coming along, as far as I'm concerned. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. When I was in school, I was taught many things. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Some of those took, some of them didn't. I can, fortunately, pronounce many of the names that have written Scripture. Right, Jan? And some of them are easy, some of them are hard, but it's important to read, it's important to know and to understand, it's important to apply those things to our life, and it's important to remember. It's important to remember the history of Scripture, it's important to remember the history of those faithful to Jesus Christ throughout the years. It's important to remember their victories, it's important to remember their failures, it's important to remember their trials. But I think more than anything else, it's important to remember their perseverance. It's important to remember. That's the difference, you see. That's the difference between failure and victory. 99% of the time, it's perseverance. Who wants to take the next step? Who wants to get up the next morning? Who wants to try this one more time? That's the difference between victory and failure. Something else I learned when I was in school, and you probably learned this too if you're a little bit of a student of history, is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving with the pilgrims, right? Pilgrims. These sort of first wave of settlers in what would eventually become the United States. And this first Thanksgiving was sometime between September and mid-November in 1621. It lasted for 3 days. These settlers met with and spent time with the Native Americans there. And Edward Winslow keeps a record of all of this. In fact, that's about the only record we have of everything that went on during these 3 days. There was a lot of Thanksgiving, a lot of feasting, a lot of games, a lot of diplomacy, and all kinds of things that happened during this time. They felt that it was important, it was necessary to express gratitude to God for who He is and for what He has done. Not only was it necessary for them to express gratitude to God, but it was also necessary for them to show so that others may see, these people they're coming in contact with, they may see their gratitude that they have to God. It was a thanks, you know, for a bountiful harvest. But again, if you're students of history, you may remember what happened to this very same colony 1 year earlier. Actually, not even a full year earlier. There was an epidemic that swept through and took out 50% of the men and women there. In fact, it didn't take out 50% of the men and women there. It took out 50% of the people. It took out 78% of the women and children, to the point where when it was time to give thanks, at least as far as the men go, there were only 22. 22. And yet, what did they do? They set aside a time, days, where they could express their gratitude to God for who He is and what He is. It is easy to lose this heart of gratitude. It's easy to lose this heart of thanksgiving, particularly when things are difficult or when things are uncertain. Shoot, for me, it's hard when the clouds are out. I get gloomy. And yet, it is important for us, as it was for these pilgrims. And why? Because this was the difference. I firmly believe that this expression of gratitude was the difference between success and failure. This expression of gratitude was the difference between giving up or getting up one more day. They were able to bring things into perspective. They were able to see the love of their Father and their Savior. And they were able to show that, share that with the Native American people around them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We do thank you. We thank you in times of hardship and in times of plenty. We thank you, Father, that you love us, you care about us. We thank you that you created us and you know every breath we take, you know every hair on our heads. Father, we thank you that you've given us a reason and a way to exist, not just now, but eternally through Jesus Christ. We thank you that you provide for us. We thank you that you care for us. But we also thank you, Father, that we can trust you. We can trust you in the darkest of days. We can trust you in the middle of the storm. And so, Father, for that, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past couple of weeks, we have looked at expressions of gratitude or the importance of expressing gratitude. We had the pleasure of listening to Kyle Spence's testimony, or at least a portion of his testimony. You know, your testimony really kind of spans a lifetime, but a portion of his testimony. We had the pleasure of listening to Brian as he reflected back, Brian Honecker, he just reflected back upon this year, which I think is a great year to reflect back upon and look at and notice the moments of God's grace in your life. We looked at what the Bible says about Thanksgiving, and I tell you, that's a hard one because the Bible says a lot about Thanksgiving. The Bible says a lot about expressing gratitude, and we were able to sort of kind of narrow this down into four big sections. But the biggest one that jumps out at me is those who honor Christ give thanks, those who don't do not. Those who honor Christ express gratitude. Those who do not honor Christ express only their own pride. They express only their own glory. They express covetousness. They express fear of loss. Today, I want to look at, as we wrap up this sermon, I want to look at, or this series, I want to look at when. When is the best time to give thanks? When should we express gratitude? I like what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says this, starting in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. I know 18 will be on your screen, but it says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, we have a problem. We're in one of three places. We either believe this plead from Paul. We either believe the Word of God as he writes, or we read through it so quickly we don't fully understand what is being said. And the third place is we do read it and we just simply don't believe it. I mean, those are the three places we find ourselves. And so it causes us, I think, for a moment to slow down. First of all, I'm just going to go clear back to verse 16, rejoice always. Am I reading that correctly? Does it say rejoice always or does it say rejoice sometimes? Rejoice when the mood strikes you. Rejoice when everything's going your way. I got news for you, by the way. When everything's going your way, anybody can rejoice. When everything's going your way, anybody can express gratitude. When everything's going your way, anybody can be happy. Anybody can be filled with joy. When everything's going your way, anybody can be filled with peace, though it may be temporary. But after all, we're crazy. Right? Some a little more than others. Rejoice always. Pray continually. This is one of the things that you find Jesus doing in his life, praying continually. What is Paul talking about? He is not talking about every moment of every day, eyes closed, head bowed, on your knees and doing nothing else for the rest of your life. But as you go, as you walk, as you exist, as you live out this life daily, recognizing the bounty of Jesus Christ in your life, presenting your Father not only with petitions, but with thanksgiving throughout your life. It needs to be a part of your life just as much as eating does. And I've asked you before, do you get your three squares a day when it comes to conversation with your Father? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in most circumstances. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Give thanks in some circumstances. Again, I think I'm reading this incorrectly. Give thanks in all circumstances. You see, this is a gift. It's a strength given to you and I to express gratitude in the midst of the storm, to express gratitude after the loss, to express gratitude when you are in days of plenty, but also in lean days. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is not a suggestion from Paul. This is not a really nice thing to do. This is not just helpful or convenient. Read the rest of what Paul says. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's desire for you, for those who believe in Jesus Christ. So we can either choose to live after God's will in our lives by living a life expressing gratitude, or we can choose to be filled with bitterness, anger, rage, self-loathing, if you will. It's interesting. We can either choose to follow the will of God or choose to deny the will of God. Do you know what it's called when we deny the will of God in our lives? It's called sin. It's called sin. And sometimes we are tempted with sin in the face of hardship and adversity because we refuse in those moments to express gratitude. We refuse in those moments to express thanksgiving. And why do we refuse? Because we don't feel like it. I'm telling you, something you ought to write down and just put on your refrigerator just so you see it every day, a truth that you find throughout Scripture, throughout the Christian walk, throughout your own walk. Action precedes motivation. Action precedes motivation. Don't buy the lie that motivation precedes action. That's what we think. Well, if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. Action precedes motivation. We are to be thankful not only for the things we like, but for the circumstances we don't like. When we are intentional about this, when we make the decision, when we purpose to thank God for everything that He allows to come into our lives, church, we keep bitterness at bay. We keep feeling sorry for ourselves at bay. You want to know what we keep at bay? We keep victimhood at bay. We've already talked about this. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you are not a victim. Don't live that way. You're a victor through Jesus Christ. And gratitude keeps these false ideas at bay. We cannot be, I think it's impossible to be, both thankful and bitter at the same time. Thursday was a rough day for me. I woke up angry. You ever do that? Woke up angry? And I didn't wake up angry with a person. I didn't wake up angry with a specific situation. It's true. I woke up angry at all of it. I did. I woke up angry, thinking about struggle, hardship, foolishness. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. I got to the church angry. I told Katrina I'm angry. So what's wrong with you? That's her sympathetic ear. What's your problem? I said, I'm angry. And not only that, a little bit later on in the day, I had a funeral to go to. I had a funeral to officiate. And on the way to this funeral, which I knew was going to be a sad time, I got a phone call, and it was bad news about something else. And I was even more angry. I took this moment, guys. I took a moment to allow sin into my life. I took a moment to allow bitterness to consume me. I took a moment to allow frustration to consume me. And I was angry. I was angry all through this funeral. And I went to pick Sam up from school at about 3 o'clock. Got Sam, put him in the truck. And I was getting in the truck. One of our elders, Randy Varner, was there in the parking lot. We got to talking just about stuff, just stuff. First thing I said was, "Hey, Randy, if it's all right with you, I'm going to take the next few months off." He said, "Well, I'll have to think about it." And we got to talking about various things, and I got back in the truck, and we were driving to the house, and this is what I just chose to do in this moment. I thanked God for Randy and his family. And then I thanked God for another elder in the church and his family. And then by the time I got home, I'd actually gone through at least all the elders and most of the deacons. And then a little bit later on that day, I'm feeling better. And my sister came over. We had dinner together, and we talked about the church. And she said, "What's your favorite part?" And I said, "Well, I love preaching. I think preaching is just an incredible joy, just an incredible gift God's given me." And I felt a little better and a little better and a little better. And finally, by the time Ashley got home — she got home late that night — by the time she got home, I was filled, honestly, with joy to see her. And we sat and we talked for a while and just kind of spent a late evening together. Nothing else had changed. Nothing else. The world was still on fire. Nothing else had changed, but I just made a decision on the drive home to be in prayer and to express thanksgiving for the relationship I have with one person. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, it changed the rest of that evening. Until the alarm clock went off the next morning. But it certainly changed the rest of that evening. Expressing gratitude keeps bitterness at bay. We do not thank God for evil, but we do thank God for sustaining us through it. We don't thank God necessarily for the bad stuff that He does not cause, but we thank Him for giving us strength. James 1:12 says this: "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him." Persevere under trial. We don't thank God for the harm He does not cause, but we thank Him when He gives us strength to endure it. We looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 last week a little bit, and I'll read back on that, and then I want to read the whole thing. "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited," this was Paul reflecting upon his ministry, Paul reflecting upon his many great revelations, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness.'" Listen to what Paul says then: "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly." That's another way of expressing thanksgiving. That's another way of expressing this gratitude in Paul's heart. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Even his weaknesses, he's expressing thanksgiving to God because of this power of Jesus Christ that sustains him and helps him to persevere. We thank God for His promise, and we've read this many times, and I think you ought to read this many times in your life, that all things work for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose, Romans chapter 8. Reminding ourselves in our moments of thanksgiving and our times of gratitude that no such promise is that all things work for the ease, or all things work for the comfort, or all things work for the safety, but all things work for the good for those who love Jesus Christ and have been called according to His purpose. We can have thankful hearts towards God even when we don't feel like being thankful in certain circumstances. Church, we can grieve and still be thankful. We can hurt and still be thankful. Do you understand that this expression of gratitude is a choice that you make? We can be angry at sin and still be thankful towards God. In fact, I would suggest to you that confronting sin and confessing sin ought to bring about not a heart of doom, but a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude because of Jesus Christ. When I confront sin in my life, it turns into worship because I am loved and forgiven by Jesus. Worshiping even in bad circumstances. That's what Hebrews calls a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise. And again, action precedes motivation. Giving thanks to God keeps our hearts in this right relationship with Him, saves us from a whole host of harmful emotions, harmful attitudes that rob us of the peace and joy that Jesus wants us to have. Your Creator wants you to be filled with peace. He wants you to be filled with joy. That's a responsible way to live. Again, something we've talked about many times, Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, listen closely, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And it comes with a promise, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. On Thursday night, again, my mind, my heart, my perception, everything had changed, but nothing else changed. My circumstances, the world didn't change. And yet there was a peace and joy in my life. Point is this, when do we express thanksgiving to God? In all circumstances. How do we do that? All right, we know when. All the time. Whenever we can. Whenever we think about it. Whenever we make the decision to express gratitude. But how exactly do we do that? You know, Scripture is filled with expressions of thanksgiving, issues related to gratitude, from cover to cover, by the way. It starts in Genesis and ends in the revelation of Christ. It starts in Genesis with just Cain and Abel bringing sacrifices, right? Offerings to God. These were expressions of trust. They were expressions of worship. They were expressions of gratitude and thanksgiving. Didn't work out real great, actually, for either one of them. Abel got killed and Cain got banished. But it didn't work out because of the sinfulness of man. It didn't work out because Cain was filled with pride. He was filled with fear. But even from Genesis, we see examples. The Israelites showed thanksgiving and appreciation through song and word. In fact, if you go through the book of Psalms, it's filled with expressions of thanksgiving. It's packed full of expressions of gratitude. Expressions of gratitude for God's grace to the Israelite people through his work and his deeds, but also expressions of gratitude to individuals. I'll go even further. If you go back and look at the law had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This was right before the Passover. This was a time when the entire nation expressed thanksgiving to God. The day of Pentecost. Actually, that's like our Thanksgiving. It was the day of harvest. That was way before Acts. A time when the entire nation expressed thanksgiving to God. The Feast of Tabernacles from Leviticus 23, you can read that as expressions of thanksgiving to God for His greatness, for His goodness, for His provision. And all of these things were even written into the law of God. He knew how important it was for His people, for this people, to express gratitude, so much so that He makes it a law to express gratitude. He knew about the spiritual well-being that comes with appreciation for the nation and the individual. But a heart of gratitude, as we've already talked about, is more specific than just times of the year. The New Testament, there's just repeated things about thanksgiving and gratitude, giving thanks to God. It's always a part of our life, always a part of our prayer. So how do we do it? Number one is this, and I kind of rank this from easiest to hardest, but that's up to you. You can kind of determine this for yourself. Number one is this, verbalize your life in relation to God. Verbalize your life in relation to God. If you're going to express gratitude, and this doesn't take anybody else. Nobody else is required to do this. Only you, to intentionally reflect upon your life. Intentionally reflect upon the nature of God. And know what your relationship is. This is when we begin to look at the provision of God. This is when we begin to look at the protection of God. This is when you begin to count your blessings, as it were. We make it a point to address the blessings of God, our state, and His love. We address His history, His faithfulness throughout the years. You can read through the book. We just got done doing this. In fact, Jesus told us to do this in remembrance of me. Every time we partake of the body and blood, it's an expression of thanksgiving. It's an expression of gratitude. And certainly, as John was pointing out, it's an expression of celebration. Church, of all of God's gifts, the greatest one He has ever given is Jesus Christ. On the cross at Calvary, Jesus died. He paid the price for our sins. He paid our debt. He was separated from the Father as He became your sin. All of this so a holy and just judge could forgive our sins and give us eternal life. And this gift is free to anybody, anybody who exists or ever existed, who trusts and have faith in Jesus Christ. You've heard this many times, for God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look at verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. I like Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works so that you can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For this very gift of Jesus Christ, this is why Paul cries out, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And if we don't take a time, if we don't take a moment, we're not intentional about verbalizing our relationship to God, if we're not intentional about verbalizing His provision, His love, His protection, the opportunities He's provided, we can very easily get consumed by bitterness. We can very easily get consumed by fear and anger. Talk about your relationship. Know it. Think about it. Discuss it. What's the second way that we express gratitude to God? Second way is this, trust. Trust. You trust Him. And I don't have to go into a great deal of explanation with this, because we do this even with people. In our expressions of thanks, our expressions of gratitude, we offer up our trust of another. We have got to get past the I doubt it mentality when it comes to God. Sometimes we even go into our prayer time with I doubt it before we even kneel. Before one word comes out of our mouth, sometimes it's I doubt it in the back of our heads. That's no way to express gratitude to God for who He is and what He is. Let me tell you this, a life of worry from a Christian is an affront to God. It's an affront to our expressions of gratitude. We already know, we take it as truth, although we have a hard time practicing it, be anxious for nothing. And not only through this, we also have a gift that we receive through our trust, our faith in Jesus Christ, through our trust in God's love and His provision, through our trust in His faithfulness throughout time. Romans 4, talking about Abraham and his trust. Verse 20 says this, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised." Verse 22, "This is why it was credited to him as righteousness." I wonder if you consider yourself a righteous person. If someone were to ask, "Are you a righteous person?" If you believe in Jesus Christ, there ought to be a lot of head nodding. Yep. You know what the criteria is to be a righteous person? He trusted God. Period. That's what it takes. It's a tremendous gift that we have through our expressions of gratitude in trusting Jesus Christ. So we verbalize our life, we trust Jesus, who He is, what He is, we trust our Father. What's the third way in which we express our gratitude? Obedience. Obedience. You know this, if you have kids, you know this even in your own life. There's a big difference between an expression of gratitude through obedience and just so many empty words, but refusing to obey. This is how we honor who God is. This is how we honor what He continues to do. This is how we recognize the truth and joy that comes through Jesus Christ. And if we are going to obey, then we need to know His precepts. If we're going to obey, we need to know what obedience is. We need to know what His commands are. If we're going to express gratitude in that way, that means understanding and listening to and knowing His Word. Sometimes we go days, weeks, sometimes even longer without reading, studying, knowing the Word of God. And by the way, 30 minutes on Sunday morning doesn't count. All right? That's just the appetizer. Every time we reject the Word of God, every time we reject thanksgiving, every time we reject gratitude when we are given the opportunity to know, to listen, to obey, we say to God, "Thank you," on one side of our mouth, and on the other side of our mouth we say, "I don't want to hear anything you have to talk about." Obedience in our life. This is an incredible expression of thanksgiving. And finally, the fourth way in which we express gratitude to God, we've talked about this many times, and for my money, it is the best way to express gratitude. It is how we treat one another. It is loving God's children. You want to show expression, or you want to express gratitude, you want to express thanksgiving to God? Love His children. You want to express gratitude to me? Love my children. Care for them. Be at peace with them. Be patient. Jeez, be patient with them. You want to express gratitude to your Father in heaven. Love His children. Care for His children. Treat His children with dignity. Treat His children with respect. Give of yourself for His children. There's no better way to express appreciation, to express gratitude for who God is and what He is. Church, all of us have a choice to make. Reflecting back upon the pilgrims, if you will, they had a choice to make too. They could stop. They could close up. They could feel sorry for themselves. They could retreat. And frankly, they'd have a pretty doggone good excuse to do it. Or they could set up 3 full days of expressing thanks to God for who He is and what He is. I can't make a lot of promises to you. I can make a couple. One promise is this, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The other promise is this, that there are always going to be things to complain about. There is always going to be problems. There's always going to be issues. But there will also be much in your life to be thankful for. If you gather around your table this week, I don't, maybe it's a table of one, maybe it's a table of many, I don't know. But I want you to take this series seriously. I want you to take this expression of gratitude seriously. I want you to remember that this is not just a good idea, but a command from God. Why? For our good and for His glory. I don't want us to overlook this, certainly in this time and in this season. Let's be grateful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the love that you have for us, for the love that you've shown to us. We thank you, Father, that you continue to sustain us. You not only sustain us, but you sustain all of your creation, of which we are a part, of we get to participate. We thank you, Father, that you care. We thank you that you continually give us opportunity, that you challenge us even with hardship, and you give us the ability to persevere. You give us the ability to take the hard stuff, to take the beating, and to see the beauty and light of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you give us hope, that you give us certainty, that you could take everything else, and yet we are not lost because of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that this time, this week, is a moment where we can express all of this. Help us to make this a part of our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Moment of prayer. Please stand and sing. Church, I don't know what you're going to do on Thursday, but we're going to have dinner, and we're going to worship, and we're going to praise, and even with everything strange and weird, I'm going to enjoy it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy my time with my family, some good food, and I'm going to express my gratitude to Jesus for who He is. I'm going to enjoy it. I hope you do the same. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the strength that you give us. We thank you, Father, that you can allow us to kind of step out of ourselves and see your love and see your plan, see your work in our lives. We thank you, Father, that some of our bad days are challenges that we can live up to. We thank you that we know the importance of perseverance. We thank you also that particularly spiritually, eternally, you have given to us with both hands, and you would give us more if we could just see it and recognize it. We thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name.